flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
B-Mitch, Stallion just told me he's swamped for the next couple weeks. What do you think he's doing?
Nothing. Drinking mimosas sure. With a bunch of dudes.
Just drinking mimosas with dudes is what Stallion's up to.
What's he doing?
What do you can tell us, Stallion, from Grant and Danny, Ryan Clary. What do you got, the Locked On podcast, Locked On Nats?
I mean, there's a lot going on in my life, I will say. I'm actually moving a friend next week.
That's your fault.
I have to do that on Saturday and Sunday, and he's paying me, I will say.
So if he's paying,
some
that's
friend
cool.
You are.
I know, yeah. I mean, yeah.
If you were really a friend, you wouldn't charge him.
I should have. I really should have, honestly. But I mean, I'll take the money. It's like I think he's paying me like $150 and probably in some beers as well. I mean, it's not like an easy move. Like this is like
so this is what you're swamped with is having to move a buddy next weekend?
Next week, I am moving a buddy. That's next weekend. And then 2 weekends from now, it's obviously the Super Bowl. I'm down to go out that Saturday because you guys said you're like, hey, pick a spot. We'll take you out drinking with Max. I'll do Saturday before the Super Bowl or Friday, wherever. I don't care.
Well, I'm going to just tell you, I never said I was going to be hanging out with you.
A big check, and I'll be there. I promise.
I mean, this just sounds so fishy. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you don't see him looking at you smiling in your damn face?
Exactly. Because
you know I'm not showing up with you because you order mimosas.
I'm not going to order mimosas. I mean, I'll order mimosas if we want to order mimosas.
No, that's why I'm not coming, because
Brian
I know
has
you do.
An irrational hatred for mimosas.
I got irrational hatred for men that sit together with men ordering mimosas.
I remember it was like one of the first things when I worked in the show. I was like, oh, yeah, like we went out for mimosas. And Brian was like, you got a mimosa?
No. You didn't.
You sent
the video of you and your boy sitting there at a park bench drinking mimosas.
I mean, it was a good time.
Hate me too,
man.
It
was a great time, in fact.
Huh?
You said, hate me too. It ain't nothing wrong with no mimosas, Ryan. You good, bro.
No, you did not hear it. It's a whole stipulation. You probably with a chick.
All the boys say, hey,
it was him and four dudes. No, I'm not doing that.
I don't know, man. Mimosas are good, and Bloody Marys are pretty good.
Mimosas are good with your lady, not with your four dudes.
Well, yes, but Brian, it's bottomless mimosas. You're paying like $10 to have unlimited champagne. That's the point of it.
The champagne is probably worth $1.
Exactly. I don't care. I used to drink Andre. Remember, I used to drink Andre from 7-Eleven. It was like $6 a
pop. You probably still do.
Where
still
were do. We? I think it was the Detroit at the Lions game. Andre was like the official champagne of the Detroit Lions. Like they had signs up in the stadium. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
No, it was real.
Andre's legit, man. I think you guys sleep on Andre champagne. That is my thing. I go to 7-Eleven. It's all dusty. No one buys it.
Have
but
fun.
Guess what I do?
Have fun.
I will.
I will let you do that. Make
all
sure
right.
When you
good to see you,
when you go get that drink, order something more expensive than Andre. If JP and I pay for it, you got to order something more expensive.
If you guys are paying, no problem.
Yeah. We'll be there to pay it at the end of the tab.
We'll be there by like 9:30, 10.
If you don't see us, just pay for it. We'll pay you back.
This sounds sketchy, but all right.
Here it is, and this should not be a surprise. We talked about this earlier in the program. David Blau has requests from the Jets and Jaguars to interview for their quarterback coaching jobs, as well as a request from the Bears for the passing game coordinator.
We expected it.
This, yep.
One thing I'm not going to get up in arms about, someone getting a better opportunity. Like, everyone gets into this thing to eventually try to get a head coaching job if they can move to it. And if you think if someone's going to – look, there's not going to be a lifetime assistant anymore. It doesn't happen like that. So I'm cool with it. And when you look at the way this team is constructed on the coaching staff, they probably have somebody they already feel can step right in, keep moving.
So this morning I wrote an article for the NBC Washington website talking about all the next steps that are coming, and the top one is the coaching stuff. You didn't lose Cliff, but you're going to lose other assistants. It's inevitable. I asked DQ about it earlier in the week. He said, yeah, we're prepared. We built a big staff. We'll take it as it comes. And there's not much else. There's really not much else Washington can do, right?
Like,
you can't, to your point, B, one, you're not allowed to, if a coach gets an opportunity at a promotion with another team.
Can't stop it.
You're not allowed to block it. And two, I would add, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you know a guy's taking a bad job or you know a guy's walking into something that will end up getting him fired or something. Like, if you want to impart some knowledge along the way, cool.
That's cool.
But as humans, we should never try to stunt someone else's growth.
I'm with that.
It's one of the things I really hate when I see.
I'll get you one thing. I look at this. Well, every time we've heard anyone discuss the great relationship with Jaden Daniels all year, who did they say?
Honestly, a bunch of people.
For the most part, it's been Cliff. And I understand that there are people who are quarterback coaches, assistant coaches. Ultimately, it comes down to when Jaden and Cliff sit there and come up with a plan of what he likes the most, that relationship is probably vitally and more important than anything out there. Cliff is still here.
Agreed. I'm not saying this ruins anything. Over the course of the year, Jaden has talked about Blau. He's talked about Tavita Pritchard, who's still here, Brian Johnson. He talked about Sam Hartman, Jeff Driscoll, Marcus Mariota, like all these people. You know what's interesting? When we talk about the free agent that needs to be back, I believe Mariota was a one-year deal too.
Yeah.
And, dude, when he played, he was
good.
Really good.
He was good.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. So, obviously, this Blau thing, I think that's going to move and move fast. We'll see what happens. So the four things I wrote about were coaches, got to be ready. You got a bunch of your own in-house free agents. You get a little runway on that, yeah. Right? Like, only you can talk to them until the middle of March if you want to talk to them.
I don't think you need to bring in 35 more new people this year.
No, right.
You know, it could go down a little bit.
Right. You and I think, are pretty much agreement as far as you got to spend in free agency, but you don't necessarily have to spend the absolute top, particularly at wide receiver.
You don't have to spend every dollar.
And then I think they really got to work on the trenches, particularly edge rush, run defense on the edge. But that doesn't mean, again, like, identify the right guys for your system and try to maybe get multiple guys rather than sign, like, there's talk of Trey Hendrickson becoming available or something, right? Yeah. Like, he's a heck of a player. Maybe he helps you, but maybe he doesn't.
Let's just say this. Whoever you get, make sure they hit. Because that's been a problem with around here sometimes.
You're right.
They get people and they don't hit. But last year they got people, they hit. So if you can keep doing that, that makes a world of difference.
And I have one bonus. There's one other thing. This is an off the field, but I think an easy fix. And I'm going to lean on my man Jeff a little bit here as the resident musician for the program. I want to be super crystal clear. This is not about the name. This is not about the logo. This is not about anything. I'm not talking rebranding. Oh, I'm not talking anything, right? Like, you know what my daughter told me before I left for Philly? She's like, yeah, Daddy, I used to really miss the old name, but now I just want them to win. And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
If they change the name, keep the name, bring in eight more names. I don't care. This is not about any of that. But what is undeniable, and some of it is simple, the old name was two syllables, Redskins. The new name is three syllables, Commanders. And in turn, they messed the fight song up. Like, here's what I want. You don't need to pump the lyrics in the stadium. People are going to sing what they're going to sing anyway. There are adults in there. But play the music of the old song so that it doesn't sound messed up when they get to the chorus. Jeff, you're the musician here. By adding the syllable, doesn't it inherently change the melody?
No, it doesn't, because you can have multiple flows on a beat. The beat is the beat, you know? But it do, when you have people singing a song that use hair to the da da,
right.
Now they're going hair da 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 da. It's like,
just say hey to the Manders.
It's like they just rushing it.
Say Manders. I watch people call them Manders all year.
I don't care what you say.
Yeah, they
just play the original
beat.
Song.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that beat is so much like the weird, slower, jazzy chorus part. Just go back. Yo, don't play the words. Just play the music and let the people sing what they want. But this team now is scoring a lot. Like, it's dope. People are singing that damn song. Play the good one that flows, not the. Like, the rebrand has had highs and lows, and now I think most people that aren't in this for, like, BS political reasons are past the name stuff, right? Whether it comes or goes, I don't know, and frankly, I just don't have attention. I don't have, like, a bandwidth for it. But, like, when I hear the song, and then I hear, like, you know, have you ever been at a birthday party? This is more for little kids. But, like, if you're at a birthday party and it is... Like, for my daughter, for Ainsley's birthday, we did a birthday with her and her friend, Rosie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's singing, everybody knows the song, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. And then, like, half the crowd doesn't know which name to say first. And so you get this, like, happy birthday, dear Ainsley, Rosie, and because nobody knows exactly what to sing. Like, that's what's happening with this song. So just bring back the original beat, and then if people say Redskins or Manders is a good idea, or Commanders, you jam it all in there. At least it's all on time.
I love you to death, bro, but y'all putting too much thought into this crap right now.
I think this one's so easy.
This is too much of a stretch. I mean, I don't give a damn what they say, what they play. They scored a touchdown is where my concern is. And normally where we sit, we don't hear the damn song anyway.
We hear it in the press boxes right there.
It's
You're
outside.
In a suite, dog.
It's outside, though. I in the suite, we have the windows open. In the press box, they have no windows open, so you don't hear much of nothing.
I just think it's an easy fix. And
I think it's
about
a fix that we shouldn't even be concerned about right now. That's how we get into these conversations sometimes in the offseason, that we go, oh, and then later on we talk about stuff. Man, we waste all that time. That's a waste of time.
Then what's your biggest position of need for the Commanders in 2025?
Defensive and offensive linemen.
What O-lineman do you want to replace?
It ain't the fact that replaces. It's making it better. Okay, it ain't the replacing aspect. You got guys on the team that can still be on the team, but do you believe that their offensive line was blocking that supposed to block against the Eagles?
No, I think the Eagles are also really
good. So it's not
good.
About replacing, dude. It's about improving. And let's be real. Every year, on teams that they win Super Bowls, sometimes that starting lineman is not there the next year. Somebody else comes in.
But so here's what I'm saying. It's easy to say. I think defensively, it's pretty obvious. Especially if you look at the contract structure with Allen and Payne, frankly, that there could be changes there. They drafted Newton.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd almost wonder, I'll pull the roster up. Like, I wonder if there's a D-end edge rusher under contract next year. I guess Javonte Jean-Baptiste, right?
How much did Doris? Doris didn't sign a 1-year deal.
Doris got a 3-year, but there's guaranteed money into the second year. That's one for sure. People listed as DN. Farrell's on a 1-year. Dorrance is on there. So how do they have the rest of these guys listed as linebackers? Fowler's a 1-year. Luvu is not a traditional edge rusher, but he gives you good rush off the edge. Like, that's going to be a really interesting position. Because just from a numbers standpoint, you're going to have to replenish it. I think it's probably, as far as true edge rushers, it's Dorrance and JJB. Maybe there's somebody on IR that I'm not thinking about.
Because Fowler and Wirtz called him a one-year deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, F.A. was on the practice squad all year. He played for them previously, F.A. Obata.
Yep.
I don't know what his – I would imagine if he's not a free agent, there's certainly not guaranteed money there. I think if you look at the defensive poor performance in the run game throughout the season, you're probably looking to make some significant overhauls on the D-line. I thought John Allen played really well in the playoff run. Part of me does think he legitimately wants to stay here. But from a straight-up contract standpoint, you're looking at a $22 million cap hit where you could save $16 million. Like, at some point, the numbers start to dictate things.
Mm-hmm.
He missed, most of the season. Payne might still have guarantees on there. Yeah, Payne still has.
Likely he does.
He has $9 million guaranteed. The money would be completely upside down on Payne. Now, he has a $26 million cap hit, but I don't think they're going to. But if you were talking about a move there, it'd be a $26 million dead money hit to save $300,000, which just isn't going to happen. And, dude, I think Payne and Allen catch too much heat, and people want to look at these graphs and statistics. I'm not saying either of those guys had their best year. Allen was hurt. I don't know that Payne did, and then Payne missed the Eagles game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people throw way too much shade at those two.
People throw shade at the people with the highest draft position because, let's be real, they were promoted by their draft position for the longest, right?
Yeah.
And people didn't see that play. And the same thing is that they praise you about is what they're going to knock you about. If the guy was a fifth-round pick and came in and played great, they'll be like, oh, man, he was a fifth-round pick, like great player. But if he doesn't play well, what do they say? Oh, he was just a fifth-round pick. So when you're a first-rounder, you're going to get the love automatically because you are a first-rounder. And then when people don't feel that you're living up to what that position was,
right,
you'll get knocked because of that. That's reality. So it's not like they're getting too much. That's the position you were picked in, and that's the expectation. Like you said, they went to the NFC Championship game this year. Next year, nobody's going to judge you off of winning 4 games. They're going to judge you off of winning 12 games. It's going the expectation changes.
Well, and next year.
And that's just real. That's not poking or throwing shade. That is reality.
Sure. I think because of where they draft and it's pretty far back, you're probably taking – I don't want to say a project because there's good players all over the draft, but if you're drafting in the bottom five of the NFL draft, you might not get a finished product that could come in right away for you and play.
But what if?
So you're gonna have to sign somebody. I'm
what thinking. If a guy is drafted that's a fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth rounder, and he comes and hits the ground running,
sure,
like a lot of people have done in this league. See, I could care less about the draft position,
yeah,
the round. We've seen our competition draft people in rounds after the first, and we can't block them, or we can't get past them. What Adam Peters has that capability. So dude, when you draft somebody, make sure they work. That's all that matters.
Yo, I'm scrolling through just picks and everything now. So they have three top 100 picks, 29, 61, 79, then a big old drop. They don't pick again until almost 150.
Mm-hmm.
So they go 129, 229, 315. After the third round, 15th overall pick, they don't draft again until the fifth round, ninth pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big old hole. Now, there moves people are always kind of moving around, so you never know. I'm just scrolling through. Obviously, last year's draft, they got a ton of production from their rookies. Jaden, Johnny Newton, Sam are still at the top. Brandon Coleman started, 13 games?
Mm-hmm.
Luke McCaffrey at least contributed a ton. They didn't necessarily have a lot of offensive statistics, but he was on the field a lot.
Yep.
The 2023 draft, can you name the draft picks?
2023 was my man. 13, what was his name?
Forbes.
Forbes was number one.
The only person you got play, Quan Martin was the second round pick. Quan's been good.
And look at Quan's production this year compared to what he was under another coaching staff.
Just listen to this draft, though. They only had 7 picks. Forbes, Quan, Ricky Stromberg, Braden Daniels, KJ Henry, Chris Rodriguez Jr., Andre Jones Jr.
Chris and Andre are still here, which tells me they like something about those two.
Yeah, I mean, both were on the practice squad,
yeah.
Elevated up and down. I don't know that Andre played. Did he get this year?
I think he was dressed out one game.
Okay.
But I don't know if he played. But like
Chris did.
What I know the about Braden this
Daniels
team here,
pick, when they made that, was so awful yeah. that they immediately had to invent an injury and put him on IR.
At least I know this.
KJ Henry might be on a practice squad somewhere.
This coaching staff keep people around who they think could possibly help them.
And the flip side?
The other people kept people that they drafted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I just, look, man, I watch Coach Gibbs, I watch Andy draft people in later rounds than the first round. And the guys were big pieces and parts of the team. I also watch a lot of people come in here and pick the first rounders, and we all automatically gave them all the love in the world, and there were people that drafted after them that was kind of playing a little better. But they never got that love. Whoever they draft, whatever round it is, I hope the hell that person could play.
I know for sure. I don't disagree with that. It's just remarkable. When you talk about the lack of depth or, you know, need to rebuild the O and D lines, like the drafts under Ron were just so awful for a series of years. It's just hard. It's kind of like hard to fathom. Dude, I mean, look at the 22 draft. The first two rounders, one was traded before the season, one was cut in season, Jahan and Fedarian. B-Rob contributed. Percy's a contributor. Sam Howell's in Seattle. Cole Turner's on the practice squad. Chris Paul, I don't think, started a game. I mean, he was kind of your ninth offensive lineman. Sip Holmes wasn't on the roster. Go back a year prior, Jamin was released in season. Cosby got a contract extension. St. Juice was on the roster. Diami had a good year, finally. Bates had a good year. Forrest kind of backtracked. Cam Cheeseman was a drafted long snapper. William Bradley King. Shaka Toney was suspended from the league for gambling.
Wait. That name get Cheeseman?
Yeah.
We drafted that dude. What round were we drafting him in?
Fifth. Maybe sixth. They traded up to get him.
Yeah, I remember that. See?
Nice fella.
That's the kind of things I'm not even worried and concerned about anymore. Bad picks like that.
Antonio Gandy-Golden was a fourth-round pick.
Who?
Nobody go anywhere. We're going to talk a little Terps Hoops in advance of tonight.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is that?
Isn't that Will Compton?
No, dude.
But that looks just like Will Compton.
B, that looks nothing like Will Compton.
Yes, it does.
Is not Will Compton.
Hope it's not.
I promise it's A.Q. Shipley. He was the offensive lineman.
Well, he looked like Will Compton.
B, I'm going to show you a picture of Comp.
In the face, they look the same.
Comp has hair. That dude is bald.
I'm about to say.
All right, let's get to the rude guest hotline and talk to our friend, Mr. Jeff Ehrman, covers the Terps for 24/7 Sports. Jeff, what's up, dude? How are you?
JP and B. Mitch, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, brother.
Do you happen to be near a television, Jeff, where you can put on Pat McAfee and see the dude that's on TV that B thought like was Will Compton?
I'm not, but I don't know if I want to get in the middle of it anyways.
I'm not worried about a linebacker.
That's a picture of Comp from his Instagram recently.
I'm not worried about a linebacker.
That dude looked nothing like him.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
Jeff, let's I'm going to be honest. I try to pay a little attention to the Turtles as football's going on, but it's just so all-encompassing. But I'm ready to lock back in. Things are going all right for Maryland basketball right now. Get me up to speed.
Yeah, suddenly they are, JP. You know, they had that little mid-season funk that they went through, obviously losing those road games and losing at Washington and not playing very well. And then they just kind of, I don't want to say turned it on overnight, but they've gotten hot now. They've won 5 out of the past 6, you know, favored over Wisconsin tonight. Should be a packed house, you know, one of the kind of that electric environment that we've become accustomed to but haven't seen as much lately at Xfinity Center. And, you know, they're number 5 in the Big Ten standings. So, you know, they're starting to go in the right direction at the right time of the season.
Well, and they won the last two, they've won on the road, right? And it wasn't that one of the big knocks on Willard? They never win on the road?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest knock. You know, he was heading into that. I think the number was 4-20 Damn. On the road in Big Ten games during his first 2.5 years, including an 0-4 start this year. Went out to Illinois. You know, they were missing their star center, so that helped. But at the same time, you know, that's probably not going to account for a 21-point win over a, you know, a top 20 team. So that's a big one. And then they go to Indiana and control a lot of the game or lead for most of the game. Looks like they're definitely going to give it away late, down 5, and have a last-minute comeback with Rodney Rice's 3 to win it with 7 seconds left. So, you know, all of a sudden they've ditched, they've gotten the road monkey off their back. We'll see if they can continue it, but, you know, they've built some momentum now, and I'm sure Willard is feeling a little less heat now about that.
What's the strength of this team this year? Is it more or less the shooting, defense, what?
Well, you know, their biggest strength is that they have two really good big men, Julian Reese, who's, you know, been one of the most productive centers in the Big Ten for several years, and then Derek Queen, who's obviously a 5-star recruit, one of the best big men in the country. So that's what you notice about them at first glance, but they have shot the ball really well, especially compared to last year. Anybody who watched last year, the season felt 20 years long watching all these bricks go off the backboard all season. They're at like 27%, way toward the bottom of the country. This year they're up to about 36%, so top, you know, 1/3 or so of the Big Ten. So they can shoot it. That's the thing they've got. They don't have a lot of depth, but they can beat you with either style, which is something they showed on the road trip. You know, they hammered Illinois inside for 62 paint points, the most by any Big Ten team all season. And then they go to Indiana and they get beat in the paint, but they make 14 of 28 threes. So as guys in your sport would say, they've got a multiple offense.
I like hearing that because they sure haven't in the past.
Yeah.
We're talking with our friend Jeff Ehrman. You can follow all his work at Jeff_Ehrman. Does an absolutely great job covering Maryland sports. You check all his work out at Inside MD Sports. All right, so Wisconsin tonight. How many Big Ten teams are ranked? I saw the SEC has like 100 teams ranked, and the ACC has 1. Where the Big Ten somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I believe it's 5 right now. I think Maryland is the only team in the top 6 that isn't ranked. They were second among teams receiving votes this week, so you'd think that, you know, obviously a win today, especially because they don't play again for another week. They've got like a weird midseason break. Should get them ranked. But, you know, with the Big Ten, aside from rankings, what we really need to see is the Big Ten make some noise in the tournament, right? Because every year it's kind of the same story there. You know, we'll see if they can finally do it this year. But I think it's 5 teams right now.
I kind of want to ask you what the hell is going on with the ACC that they have nobody ranked, but that's a different question.
That's really unbelievable, and that's the first thing I bring up when people get nostalgic and bitter about Maryland leaving the ACC is, even if they hadn't left the ACC, it's not the ACC it used to be, you know, that we, the three of us, used to watch 20 years ago or whatever it might have been with all these classic teams and superstars. It's really fallen off. But, you know, the name of the game right now, largely in college sports, is money. And those ACC schools aren't getting the same kind of money that the Big Ten and the SEC programs are. And with NIL and everything else, that makes it very hard to compete at a high level. Having 0 teams is definitely unusual.
I hear that, but they have big backing. Why they aren't getting the money like those other leagues?
TV deals, you know, the Big Ten has always been the leader in TV money. You know, every time they get a new TV deal, it's record setting. Whereas ACC schools are getting, you know, maybe half of what they're getting revenue-wise. Now, those schools, that's not an excuse like a Duke or a North Carolina. They have plenty of money. They're standalone marquee national brands. But for the most part in that conference, you know, it's all – and in football, too, it's fallen off a lot for the same reason. It's not the same conference that it used to be.
That's crazy. And, you know, Jeff, you could have just said, JP, when you get nostalgic, don't be, rather than just try to throw that veiled shot at me.
Yeah,
you
can, that's funny. No, it's not. Trust me. I've heard it from a few people.
You can come direct. So this matchup tonight, this is a big opportunity. I saw – maybe you retweeted it. 15 years ago tonight was the first Gold Rush game where Grievous took down Duke. I was at that game. Me and my boy Steve Simmons, that was an absolute blast. I remember it was icy as hell, and we went to Bentley's after. I mean, I lived in Northeast D.C. at the time, and my boy Simmons lived like just north of Baltimore, and we got a hotel in College Park that night because we both didn't. We wanted to be able to just enjoy the night, and I remember slipping and falling, walking from Bentley's to the Best Western or whatever. How do they get a win tonight? What's Wisconsin's biggest threat?
Well, Wisconsin's got a guard named John Tonji, who's, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, he's really good, 18 points a game, about 5 rebounds a game, shooting 40% from three. But, you know, it'll be the same thing as usual with Wisconsin. They're going to try to grind it out. They're going to play really tough physical defense. That's what Greg Gard is all about. You know, they're not going to be as athletic as a lot of these teams are. You know, it feels to me like one of those games where Maryland just kind of wins these games coming home after a little winning streak with fans starting to get on board. You know, Xfinity Center is such a huge home court advantage. No matter who the coach has been for the past however many years, Maryland's always won at a very high rate at home. So, you know, they have had some tough games with Wisconsin lately, but I think talent-wise and in terms of just where they are in the season right now with their momentum, this is one that they should win.
All right, so they're supposed to win. Lastly, B, you brought up the cash. I don't know who reported this, but I know I've seen it. Within the last week, some anonymous donor gave $10 million specifically to Maryland basketball, right?
Yeah, I heard that was you, JP.
Well, I'm trying to keep it anonymous, Jeff.
Okay, my bad.
All good. B and I split it. But what does...
No, I already gave him enough.
What does a gift like that, like a 10 mil gift, do for... Like, because in a lot of ways, that's a ton of cash. But in other ways, is it? Like, how long does that fund your collective? I don't know.
Yeah. So it's a little complicated now because of the new revenue sharing that's starting next school year where schools can pay athletes up to $20.5 million in total, like a salary cap for all sports combined, primarily football and basketball. I asked someone in Maryland if it would go toward that. They said no, that 20.5 is already budgeted, but you know, I'm sure it'll fill in some of the other gaps operationally, scholarships, other things like that, that, you know, make it easier to spend that 20.5 million on athletes. And then, you know, a lot of schools, there's a lot of ways out there that you see where they're able to still do NIL deals on top of the 20 million. So you have schools that you hear are going to, they'll spend the $20 million, but then they're going to have another $20 million through side collectives and things like that. So it could play into that. But as of right now, what they're saying is that's you know, going to be operational investment and, you know, that they're separate from their salary cap, essentially.
Can they – somebody else might match it, Jay.
I will match – what is 0.0001% of 10 mil? 100 bucks? I got 100. You let Coach know, all right?
That won't help.
Fair enough. I'll send you their way.
You do better buying a Snicker.
But, yo, did I also hear that all of college might be in some trouble because, like, Title IX lawsuits are coming with the NIL stuff?
Yeah, that was expected. I mean, you know, how could it not be at this point? And it's still up in the air how that's going to go down. When you talk to people, though, they don't seem too concerned about that. You know, they're already budgeting, you know, $15 million or whatever it might be of that money to football and most of the rest to men's basketball. So just based on how the market is behaving, so to speak, I don't think that they think Title IX is going to make them split it 50-50. And I think, you know, regardless, you're going to see a lot of those non-revenue or Olympic sports start to dry up at some of these schools Whereas, you know, the rich schools, like, say, in Ohio State or others, will still have enough money to, you know, fully fund some of them, whereas, you know, some of these schools where it's not a priority or just where it's a expensive sport without barely any return, you know, you might see some of those close up.
Gotcha. Wow. Talking with our boy Jeff Ehrman. Follow him at Jeff_Ehrman, E-R-M-A-N-N. Check out all the work at Inside MD Sports. He is the Maryland sports insider. Seriously, as a Terp that cares, there's a reason I always get Ehrman on the show. And what people may not know, Ehrman's a huge Skins fan, and his son's an even bigger one. So you get your own private line to ask me and Brian anything you want.
That's right. I told JP I wouldn't do this interview unless I got some Commander scoop for my son, and you came through on that. So and you guys kill it. You guys kill it with the Commanders, too, all season long.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. And we'll probably have to do this much more often now that football's over, and I'm going to pay attention to basketball.
Let's do it. Sounds great.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Jeff Ehrman, Inside MD Sports. Speaking of local college hoops, did anybody check the score of Georgetown St. John's last night?
No.
With 12 minutes left, Brian?
What was the score?
It was 32-3.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't know what the final was, but it was like ugly. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Mega Bets next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's every manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli, live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now in the FanDuel app, and if you back the right brother, you'll earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in to watch the showdown live during Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Shout out to Biz Markie. How about this? Caller number 10 right now. You win a pair of tickets to see the Wiz, the Washington Wizards, Friday, February 7th against Cleveland. The Cavs are good, too. That's a good game. It's the first Wizards Friday night concert series. Stay for the free post-game concert from Backyard and Junkyard for Go-Go Night. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/contest. You get to see BYB and JYB after a Wiz Cavs game. That's awesome. Call 800-636-1067. We'll be in New Orleans, B, or I would maybe attend that. Actually, hell, I get home that night, but I highly doubt I will attend that night. We might need to put a pin in this and actually address this tomorrow. Something just came to my attention.
What's that?
Okay. At least this makes it a little bit better. The Pro Bowl has become such a joke. So Jaden's not playing in it. Terry's not playing in it. As of now, Wagner's playing in it. I won't be shocked.
I thought Jaden was playing in it.
No.
That's what he said last night.
I thought I saw that he said he's not coming.
I thought last night I heard he said.
Google that fast for us. Yeah. So I don't want to be incorrect on that. Google that, White Brian. So in the AFC, your quarterbacks were Burrow, Lamar, and Allen. Lamar's not playing. Burrow is playing. Allen's not playing. Okay? So they got Russ Wilson in there, who didn't even start the first six games of the week and was potentially getting benched the last month of the season. Bo Nix turned him down because he wanted to rehab ahead of next year. So Drake May is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Well, think about what you just said. Bo Nix turned him down. Drake was the sixth guy.
I'm not mad at Drake. Drake's an exciting young player. I think he could become a good player. But, like, this process is broken, man. The timeline on it is broken. I don't know how you fix it. Like,
they won't, because once
the NBA All-Star game used to be awesome. Now it sucks.
Yeah, but they went away from football completely. And at that point, think about it. You go to the Pro Bowl and you got to run around and do stuff to benefit the NFL. Hell, you could go somewhere and benefit yourself for that whole week.
What bothers me, though, Brian, is that, yeah, Jaden opted out. That's what I thought. What bothers me on a big level is people, especially lazy-ass Hall of Fame voters, will look to Pro Bowls as a measurement in determining Hall of Fame eligibility. Huh. And it's my understanding that, like, the Jaden would be the Pro Bowler, right? And Drake May, that wouldn't count on his... I don't know how you add all that up, how you reconcile that. Because eventually it's going to say Drake May was in a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And not specific to those two, but you could play that out at a bunch of different positions where guys do or don't play, even though they were voted in, and then a replacement gets that designation also, and it's just like, what are we doing, man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird.
The Pro Bowl is broken. Everything the NFL does is so damn good, and the Pro Bowl is broken.
Well, you go out there and you're playing flag football and playing video games to win a Pro Bowl, then that says enough of itself.
Let's make some bets. White Brian, where are we at? Jeff's 2-0 on the week. I want to credit Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff is 2-0. JP, you're 0-2.
Nah.
B. Mitch and Lamphar are 1-1, and I didn't give out a bet yesterday, so I'm 1-0.
I think I'm 1-1.
0-2. You lost yesterday and you lost today, last night.
Just doesn't sound right.
It sounds right because you were bragging about being undefeated.
It sounds like Drake May being in the Pro Bowl. All right, who's got what?
Somebody take it.
Raptors.
West Virginia +9.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech +10.5.
Ooh, them Hokies. You probably listen to that right here on 106.7 The Fan tonight, I would guess. Yeah, that means there's going to be a lot going on tonight because Maryland's on 980, right?
Something like that. Let me get Golden State Warriors. +10.5, I think it is, right?
Give me them dirty Terps tonight in College Park, baby. -5.5. That's a big number when you're hosting a ranked team. It makes me like that a lot. Terps -5.5 for me. All right, thank you to everybody listening to the program today. Thank you to Neil Greenberg. Thank you to Mike Jones. Thank you to Jeff Ehrman.
What you know about.
Listen, Landfill, I can't confirm or deny if B. Mitch has been asked to go to the Pro Bowl, but we'll work on that information.
I'll definitely go. I'll take that extra money.
We'll work on that information for tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way.
I could be the quarterback in the Pro Bowl.
You made it this far, I owe you beer.